Everyone,
morning.
It's good to be here with all of you this morning. Good to see each and every one of you. Let's open in a word of prayer as we begin. Jesus, we thank you that we can once more gather together in your name, in your presence. We thank you that you are here with us right now. We pray that you would help us to lay aside everything that would entangle us, that would distract us from you, God, and focus on you and you alone. In your name, amen. Though the tears may fall, my song will rise to you. Though my heart will fail, my song will rise to you. While there's breath in my lungs, I will praise you, Lord. In the dead of night, I'll lift my eyes to you. When the waters rise, I'll lift my eyes to you. While there's hope in this heart, the joy of the Lord is my strength. When I cannot see you with my eyes, let faith arise to you. When I cannot feel your hand in mine, let faith arise to you. God of mercy and love, I will praise you, Lord. Oh, you shine with glory, Lord of light. Alive with you in your presence now, I come alive. I am alive with you. There is strength when I say, oh, I will praise you, Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the darkness, I'll dance with the shadows. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the darkness I'll dance, in the shadows I'll sing. The joy of the Lord is my strength. No matter what comes, no matter what he asks us to do, he is the one we can depend on to make it through any situation. Where you I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow.
Loving the way God loves, moving in the ways that God moves, living our lives according to His perfect plan. What a great blessing it is to be able to do that. Amen? Such a joy. We're going to take time to just remember the opportunity of giving. Some of you have already given. You've been very faithful to do that through the online opportunities. Some of you mail your tithes and your gifts in, but some people like to do that in person still. Some are still old-fashioned, right? Is that okay to be old-fashioned sometimes? And I know some of you come and you put your offering in right away when you walk in the doors. However it is that you've chosen to just be faithful in your giving, thank you for that. God is blessing you, I know, and let's just pray a special blessing that God will use it for His kingdom. Lord, we're thankful that we can give. We're thankful whether it's online, in person, through the mail, however it's done, Lord. We know that it's honoring to You, and it's something that we are joyful in doing. We just pray a special blessing on this opportunity and for each giver to be blessed by You, Lord, for furtherance of Your kingdom as the money comes and goes into this world for Your good and for Your sake. We just pray a blessing on this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you as we continue to worship and as we give.
give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you, only. Give life, you are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath.
Things for his glory. It's not about us. It's not because we're so awesome. All for him. All for him. Let him flow through you. Let him work through you. See what he can do. Dare to imagine what he can do in you, what He can do in your life.
Blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, the cornerstone, weak made strong in Savior's love. The storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. Desperate for you. desperate for you.
Thank you for the sweet, sweet spirit, Lord, that's in this place right now. I pray that we just draw close, that you would help us draw close into you, God, and wrap your arms of love around each one of us, God. We pray, God, that we realize daily, Lord, that our commitment to you, God, and that you care for each one of us, Lord. Lord, we pray for the needs that are represented here in this body. The needs of health, that people need healing, Lord. We pray for financial needs. We pray for those who might have a lot of anxiety or depression, or we know of some who do. We pray that you would reach out to them, God, and comfort them, and let them realize the joy of you. And if they need to, if we need to give a word of encouragement to somebody, Lord, as you would just quicken our heart, quicken our voice to do that. Now, Lord, I just pray that you would be with everyone here, God, as we continue on with this service, Lord, with our worship for you, Lord. Let you be the center of everything that we do. We thank you now in your wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, it is a good day to be here, isn't it? Be in church, worshiping the Lord. Yesterday was kind of a nice little reprieve from the heat with a little bit of moisture, because we badly need the moisture in the area, definitely. I just count your blessings where it is. I know I decided that in the morning that I was just going to go quickly run over to the store, do a quick things at the grocery thing there, and I wore my normal t-shirt and shorts, and I went in there, and the wind was raining on me, and going there, I'm going, man, I'm cold. You know, I'm going to sit here and think this through next time while I go, you know, on that regard. So anyway, just a few things here. We got Praise in the Badlands tomorrow. There's a concert at Medora. We're going to be taking off here tomorrow. Tomorrow evening at 5:30. Be here at the church, and we'll head on up there. It'll be great for that. Kids ministry meeting on Thursday, August 11th at 6:30 here at the church. So if you're part of the ministry team there, be here for that. And Krispy Kreme sales. How are you all like Krispy Kreme? We're going to do that for BGMC. Raise some money for BGMC. And I think Beth will talk about that a little bit here. So, starting next week, August 14th through 26th. So be sure to get your order in, or some of the kids that might come by and talk to you about that. You got a bicycle? Ladies, if you have a bicycle, talk to Janice there. She's got a nice little fellowship thing going on. Oh, and next Sunday, we're going to have a guest speaker. I know him well. He's going to be here. My son, Nate Gentry, is going to be here. He is coming. So just be ready to come and be blessed, because, you know, you're going to have a proud papa that'll be out here in the seats watching him in that. So anyway, Luau night, August 19th at 5:30 for the seniors, 55 and older. Hey, there's a sign-up sheet out there for a side dish, and come on over here to the parsonage here. We are going to have a good time. It'll be interesting to see what we got planned. Well, since I'm one of the ones that organizing, I guess I have an idea then, don't I? It'll be fun, guys. It'll be fun. All right. So this last week, we had kids camp out there at Big Sky Camp out in Bloomfield there. And Shane and Beth are going to come on up here, and they're going to talk about that. And from what I hear, I think God really moved out there. So, but they're going to share on that.
I get to go first. This last week we were at kids camp. We only got to take two with us, but when we got there was a lot of kids. I had 12 kids in my cabin, not by myself. Had a great co-counselor from Bozeman, and so we tag-teamed it and had a great bunch of kids. It was a ton of fun, of course, as kids camp always is. I'm sure this is my first time in like 20-some years going back to kids camp, so it was really exciting. But the services were just unreal. It was incredible to see. Sometimes you think, well, they're just kids. How much do they get it? But to see them feel God and just press in and push in, and you could just feel it. I mean, it was palpable. It was incredible to see the kids just chasing after God, chasing after the Holy Spirit, and seeing their prayers answered. It was incredible. One of the things that God spoke to my heart that very first night, and this week was kind of part of that whole process, was that sometimes we get so busy in our lives, we got so much going on, that our lives can get kind of cluttered. We have a lot in there, and it's hard to make room for God. And one of the songs that we sang said, "I will make room for you." And God just challenged me that throughout the week and continuing on, that no matter what's going on, no matter what I've got with work or family or church, whatever it is, make room for God. So pass that on to you. That was my challenge, and pray that God would challenge you with that. So.
Well, I too went to a kids camp. I just wanted to thank you for sending us. It was an honor and a privilege to get to go. God moved in a mighty way. I mean, I wasn't prepared for that mighty move of God as much, but I just want everyone to know that boy can kids worship. Boy can kids pray. Boy can kids seek God's face. It was amazing. Not one person who went to camp, staff or kid, was not, I mean, everyone was touched. Kids gave their hearts to the Lord. Kids were filled with the Holy Spirit, with the speaking and evidence of tongues. People were healed. People called into the ministry. It was an amazing week. And God touched me as well. God just really spoke to my heart just to keep seeking after him. Keep seeking after him more and more. And he gave me just a desire in my heart to do that. So I encourage you, each one of you, no matter where you're at, seek more after him. And, you know, it doesn't make your problems go away. You know, I mean, but it will give you wisdom and power and strength and peace to face your problems. So boy, problems hit me right in the face the day I came back from camp. Friday afternoon, I was drinking, and I had something in my mouth, and I thought, is this a piece of this mug? Is this a piece of ceramic? And I spit it out, and it was half on my back molar. My tooth had cracked and broke, and I thought, oh, Lord, I'm not going to let this get me down. How can I be thankful? And I said, you know what? I'm thankful this did not happen at camp. I am thankful I have a dentist, and I was able to call the emergency hotline, and they are getting me in early this week and get my tooth fixed. Praise the Lord. But, you know, just continue to seek after him. I being in church, being at camp makes a difference for kids. If you know any kids, bring them to church. Send them to camp next year. 2023, send them to camp. They have a huge encounter with God. If you don't know any kids, pray that God brings some kids into your life so that you can make an impact on them. We talked at kids at staff meeting. There's quite a few staff there, and there were some staff that had been there for a while that have come year after year. And they knew Nathan, my son Nate. And, you know, many of you know him, that he grew up in this church. He was a bit of a stinker. More than a stinker many times. But you know what? That all of us poured into him despite that. That God poured into him at camp. And God's doing a mighty work in him. He's been called into the ministry. He's going to be here to speak the word next week. And you know, so church and God and camp makes a difference in kids' lives. I'm praying for kids. MJ, watch out. The kids are coming. They're coming. I just know it. So be ready, church. And let's love on these kids, despite if they're a stinker or if they have behaviors. Let's love on those kids, because God can get a hold of their hearts. So, and our speaker, I was going to share about our speaker. Our speaker was Pastor Kelly from the national office. He's the National Children's Director for the Assemblies of God. And him and his team just were really awesome. We were so blessed to have him there. All right, well, we're going to talk about BGMC now. Braitlin's going to come up here and help me with BGMC. Bring them on up here, Braitlin. We'll put one on this side and one on that side. So we got Boys and Girls Missionary Challenge. And today in Children's Church, we're going to be talking about the island of Fiji. Oh, come on up here, hon. But I don't want to talk about Fiji this morning. I want to talk about what the kids did at camp for BGMC. So they get a card, and their money all goes on the card, and they can either use it at the snack stand. And boy, was there some good candy. And we all ate way more candy and snacks than we should have, myself included. I have to go on a detox this next week from sugar. Or they could give some to BGMC. And so, you know, missionaries are called, but they need us to partner with them. And BGMC makes a huge difference for missionaries. So the missionary, we had a challenge at camp, and the challenge was to raise $3,000. And I thought, in my mind, gosh, that's a lot of money for 5 days and four nights. $3,000, that's our goal here for the whole year at Glendive Assembly, $3,000. And I thought, I'm thinking, oh, at the end of the week, I was like, oh, you have little faith, talking to myself. But $3,000, and Braylon, how old are you?
12.
Okay, so Braylon here is 12. Anybody else know any other girls that are 12? Okay, well, here we go, 12. Well, our project was to partner with a missionary in Kenya. And he was working in an area where the kids got to go to school, primary school. But when the girls turned 12, they had to go to secondary school. But it was really far away, and there was no way to get them there. So if they can't go to secondary school at age 12, when they turn 12, they have to get married. So I asked Shane, are you ready for Braylon to get married? He says, no way. No way. Braylon, are you ready to get married?
No.
Okay, no way. So we're partnering with missionaries down in Kenya to build a secondary school so these girls that turn 12 can continue to go to school. And so Wednesday night we were at $1,000-some, I don't remember. And I'm thinking, okay, I don't know that we're going to make this. That's a lot of money, one more night. But, you know, they got up and they said, okay, what do you guys think the BGMC offering was? And they're like, do you think it was $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000? Well, it was $4,300 and something. I didn't write it down. But, boy, they had just blown it out. And they had said no to candy, which, you know, is hard sometimes for kids to do. And yes to Jesus and given to BGMC. So there's going to be some 12-year-old girls that get to go to school and get to wait a little bit longer before they get married. So it was just really a powerful week. So we have the BGMC buckets out here. Any kids? Okay, we got the two kids. So if you want to give to BGMC, bring it on down or hold it up. And the kids, Braylon and Javin, are going to come around and get the BGMC from you. And we're gonna give to BGMC. And Krispy Kreme is coming to Glendive, so get ready next week to order some Krispy Kreme. It's going to BGMC. And we got some people with some money out there, so thank you again for sending us to camp. It was awesome. If you want to hear more about camp or what God's doing in children's ministries here at Glendive Assembly, see me later. Braylon and Javin, look around. There's people with some money ready to give. All right, who am I giving this to?
$12 a dozen for the Krispy Kreme, and that is going to allow for some funds to be raised, and we're excited about how that's going to work out. And Pastor Doug and Beth are going to be heading that way anyway to Billings to pick up the Krispy Kremes because they're there to check out a dinner church. Yes, question. Yes, the meetings that were out at the Mitchells were postponed because of travel something or other. I'm not exactly sure, but yes, thank you for that as well. So, all right, kids can be dismissed to go to BGMC, and let's open our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 13 through verse 23. Therefore, Preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful that we have this blessed hope, that we are able to rejoice in the truth of our salvation, to walk with you, to look to you, and to prepare ourselves to follow you intentionally, not just fly by the seat of our pants, as you say, or as people do say, but Lord, that we would specifically and intentionally choose you. I pray, Lord God, that you'll help me to speak your words. May we be inspired and encouraged to follow according to your perfect plan. Open our ears, open our hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to illustrate something with you today, and actually it's going to be more than me that illustrates it. My grandson's going to come up here. I asked for his help, so Keegan, come on up. I need your help up here, buddy. Now, I could have a contest with somebody else, but I thought, no, let's just do it this way. I'll move this over where it's visible. All right, Keegan, you go stand over there by that little table there. And are you ready? Set. Go. Oh, I forgot to tell you what to do. Okay, so you're going to make a pyramid. Go. Make a pyramid. Go, 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 go. Everybody cheer. Cheer, cheer. Yay, yay. Go, go. Go, go, go. Go, go. Faster, 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 faster. You can do it. Yeah, we're at 20 seconds. Oh, it just kind of faded out. Keep going, keep going. You got this. You got this. Oh. You know, there's a double cup thing going right there. You might want to fix that real quick. Oh. See, how are we doing? We're at 33, 4, 35... Almost there. Something's not right. Are we missing? Oh, there's a double cup on the bottom. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. We're almost to 50 seconds. Come on, you can do it. Whoa, oh, don't knock it over. That's going to start all over again and stop. Okay. 55 seconds. Good job. Now, how many think it was a little unfair for me to tell them to start without telling them what to do? Maybe a little bit unfair. And so you know what? I'm going to go ahead and put it all back into a stack. And now that you know what you're going to be doing, and he did start with five cups on the bottom, which was impressive. So good job. And we're going to have you redo this. So prepare yourself. Focus. Think about what you're doing. Make sure you don't have the double cup issues. Get into that competitiveness of your being. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Set. Go. How many think you can beat that? Come on, come on, come on. We're going fast. Oh, look at how fast we're doing. We're almost up to 10 seconds. There's 10. We can do it. Oh, you know what? Still lots of time, lots of time. We got this, we got this. What was the time you got to beat? 55? Watch out for the double stack. Come on, you can do this. You got to prove my point here. You got it, you got it, you got it. We're at 32. Stop! Yeah! Woo! All right. Good job. Go have a seat, bud. You did awesome. All right. Why did he do better the second time? He knew what was expected. That's right. First time I put a lot of pressure on, didn't tell him exactly what was going on, and I just said, go! And of course, it was a struggle, a lot of nerves. But the second time around, because he prepared his mind for action, he knew what he was going to be doing and what was expected. Beat it by over 20 seconds. And honestly, there are times in our lives where as we follow Christ, it's the same way. We're not preparing our minds for the action of what's required of us. We simply respond and react to the challenges of life, and somehow, for some reason, we're struggling at times. And the Word of God declares that we are to be preparing our minds for the actions, to be sober-minded as we focus our hearts upon the hope of glory. God's Word continues to remind us that we are to walk a walk of faith with intentionality. How many times have we found ourselves struggling because we're only reacting? And I think about things that happen in my life. You know, childhood experiences are always impressionable. And I still remember when I was in third grade and I went to a basketball game with my family, because that's just what you do in a small community. You support the team. And we were able to go to a game one evening, and I was there, and my friends, who I was getting to know pretty well. I mean, we're already in the third grade. Been in school half my life, it seemed like, right? My friends were going off and around down to the locker room area, and I saw them go, and they invited me along. And I said, well, what are you going to do? Well, come on, just come. I said, but what are you doing? They're like, we're drinking peppermint schnapps. And I was like, totally naive, like completely out of my realm. And I said, what's that? And they laughed at me, right? They laughed. They called me some kind of a lame name. And they said, it's alcohol, stupid. And I freaked out. I mean, I wasn't expecting this. I'm in third grade, right? And I still remember as they called me a funny name, because I didn't know what they were talking about. I was so naive. They asked me if I would come. And I remember saying to them, my mom and dad won't let me, and my church doesn't believe in it. That was my answer. And then they called me some really good choice names and laughed at me as they walked away, calling me a lame whatever. I'm not sure. You got to go back to the 80s to figure that out, or late 70s, early 80s. I wasn't prepared for that. I'm thankful that I had the help of the Holy Spirit, even at such a young age, that I knew in my heart of hearts that this was danger, red flags, not a good situation. But I was never unprepared again when it came to the questions and the invites for the scene that I knew was harmful and damaging. Now, it wasn't a great answer. It would have been much better if I would have said, well, I love God, and I think that if I go into this thing of what you're doing, it could hurt my relationship. I mean, that would have been a great answer. But I was a kid. I wasn't prepared. I bumbled a little bit. But you know what? I was thankful in the long run that I was able to give an answer that kept me from harm, because that was just the beginning for those guys. I was in a small school, a small community. I graduated with 15. I was the guy that never partied. I was not popular. I wasn't disliked, but I wasn't invited because I kept saying no. And so that's my life. You know, a lot of people, they go through their school experience and they cry when they graduate. Oh, and I'm like, what? I mean, I was like, man, where's the door? I mean, I'm out of here. It's been nice knowing you guys, but I mean, I literally didn't belong in so many ways. That's who we are. I wished I could have done it better. I wished that I could have known as much as I do now when I was still a student in those lower years up through my high school years. I would like to go back and explain in a better way why I choose not to do the things they did. But I didn't have the experience, I didn't have the knowledge, and quite honestly, I was too shy and not able to really fully commit to being that guy that explained what it meant to follow Christ. I did a little bit, but it wasn't well done. Why is that? Because I didn't prepare. I just let life happen, and I rolled with it. You know, it's surprising how many people do that in those young years, 7, 8 years old, right? Not really. That's the way 7 or 8 year olds are. And then maybe up to that adolescent, 11, 12 years. Well, that's not surprising. Of course, they just respond and just react. And then those high school years, and then those early 20s, and then those 30s and 40s, and now 50s. What would my life be today if all I did is react and respond to life situations without intentionality, without planning, without having a heart prepared for action? Why, I flat out guarantee I wouldn't be standing here with you today. Where are you in this process of becoming like Christ? Where are you in this intentionality of following God? We must be prepared mentally. We must be prepared emotionally. We must be prepared spiritually to be successful as followers of Christ. The Word of God declares it very, very emphatically. So I want to encourage you, prepare for action. You know what's expected. Ready, set, go. What are you going to do when you're confronted with this challenge, with this situation? Have you contemplated how you would respond under attack from somebody who calls you hurtful and hateful things? You should be prepared, because it may very well happen. How about when you lose someone you're very close to? Have you prepared for that? Some of you have experienced it. Were you prepared? Has your life been prepared for all of the things that could be in this challenge of which we are foreigners in this land? This is not our home. So I want to encourage you that to avoid the pitfalls, to overcome the hurdles, when you make decisions for this day and the days of which are yet to come, you need to be prepared to handle the challenges. It's interesting how many times I find discussions with believers, with new or old believers, and I'm not talking age, I'm talking experience. There are some young people that are aging in a more, in a faster way than people that have age. Isn't that interesting? How a young person could be more grown spiritually than an old person. Is that even possible? Yeah, it's actually quite common. But it's interesting how many times conversations are centered around this idea of how close to the line can I be and still be a follower of Christ? How close to the edge can I still be successfully a born-again believer? How worldly can I walk and yet still be considered a child of God? Why are we asking those questions? Why is that so much of what we have to address in ministries and churches across the land today? You see, your salvation is about a relationship with God. We sang a song about, I want to know you more. That ought to be the very center and the focus of our reason for being today. Not about avoiding punishment. It's not about avoiding hell. It's not about the things of which we often hear about. It's about growing in knowing someone who you love. I find it interesting how many people don't want to spend time with God, and yet they want to be a follower of God by the terms and by the words. Isn't that weird? I mean, isn't that strange to you? Look at Philippians chapter 4. This is a verse that we went through last week. As we prepare our minds for action, prepare our hearts to respond according to God's will in the challenges of life. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and verse 9. What does this look like? Well, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. You are preparing your mind for action by thinking these things. What does the world do, and what do we often do if we're not careful? Well, we become very negative. We watch Fox News or CNN or MSNBC or whatever you like to choose, and you get all distorted and twisted and bent out of shape because of the conditions of our world and our country and our state. And it affects our spirit, it affects our emotion, it affects our mentalities, and pretty soon we're just not fun to be around because all we are is yang, 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 yang. Well, is there great things going on in our country? Well, we could sit down and have a discussion about it, and certainly I have ideas of how we could do things better, right? We all have those ideas. But is my mind constantly focused on these things? Are these things good for my spirit? Are they good for my walk with Christ? Is this pure? Is this lovely? Is it excellent? Your spirit can only handle so much of that negative influence. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, it says, and the God of peace will be with you. Remember when I said peace is not a gift you can receive? It's kind of a new thought that I prayed through before I ever said it. It really isn't. It's not something that God could just give you peace. Peace is something you experience by following His commands, by walking with Him. It's a different thing. God gives you love. He gives you His joy. Why? Because you're experiencing life with Him as you follow His decree, applying His word of truth to your life. You are not reacting. You are proactive. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Let's go to the Old Testament. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. Make God's word and his thoughts your daily delight. What kind of action are we preparing ourselves for as we follow Christ, as we walk with him? Well, honestly, I don't want to go into great extent on this because it's basically 9 messages or more. It's the fruit of the Spirit. These are the things of which we will experience and find in our lives. We are going to become reflectors of Christ's character. The fruit that we are to produce as followers of Christ is coming from his Holy Spirit, who is with us and in us, and it is his character coming through our lives. Bearing fruit is the Christ character being revealed. That should be number one. Preparing for action. Asking yourself this question, or actually asking God this question, what is your desire, Lord? What do you want to do, Lord? Where do you stand on this situation, Lord? How can we move forward together, Lord? So prepare your mind for action was the number one. Number two, be clear-minded. Be clear-minded. Sober-minded is another word that you can use. Self-controlled is in the 1984 NIV version, and I kind of like that perception, the self-controlled, clear-minded, sober-minded, all of those trying to bring across a point. What does that mean? It means don't be clouded by the world. Don't be clouded by the influences of this world. It happens a lot, by the way. It happens tremendously often, and it's unbelievable, honestly, how many of our own students, of which we just celebrated, young, middle school, high school, up into young adult years, how many of the people that we know as youth that have grown do not believe Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven? I would love to tell you that it's over 50% believe, but that's not true. The percentage of young people that have not accepted the Word of God as truth have been clouded by the world. They have been influenced by worldly thoughts, propaganda, if you will. It's getting quite confusing, to be honest with you. I had the experience of getting to know someone just recently who is a girl that wants to be called a male pronoun. That's the new thing now. I found it quite ironic that, very pleasant, by the way, wonderful person, really, really liked everything about her. I was just like, okay, that's interesting. But this particular person was very good about saying sir and ma'am to all the adults that came through that were going into the fair. And I thought that was quite interesting. How do you assume that that's a he anymore, right? I'm confused. It's just perplexing to me. This is the world we live. Our young people are being influenced by worldly thoughts and worldly passions. So we ought to be very intentional, preparing for the things of which we shall be attacked, yes, but we also need to be very clear-minded about what we are hearing and understand and know the Word of God. What does His Word of God, truth, say? We can debate all of the ideas that you have and I have and our own perspectives and our own opinions, but opinions are not what matters. God's Word is what matters. We've often heard this challenge about, you can't judge me. And you know what? When the world says that, you're right. They are right. We are not to judge the world. We are to love them. And I hope and I pray that that's your goal, to love all that you come into contact with that are not part of God's family. But the interesting thing is, we are supposed to judge one another. You are supposed to hold me accountable, and I am supposed to hold you accountable. And I can give you a whole list of verses that challenge and say such a thing, that you and I are accountable one to another because we are one with Christ. If I step out of line of God's word and his truth, you had better call me out. Amen? And I hope you do so with love, but with the firmness of understanding that this is serious. And I will also you. Love you enough to tell you this isn't right. Clear-minded, sober-minded, self-controlled. Those are the words that are given in our text that challenge us of this is how we ought to live as we go forward into holiness, Christ-likeness. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. It's a quiet bunch today. You all know that? You're really quiet. It's okay. It's all right. Quiet is good. You're just considering, thinking. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, it says, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable. Huh. So that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. What does that actually mean? Well, it means that you are representing Christ so well that your influence causes them to be believers as well. That's what it's actually meaning to say. That on the day of his coming, they rejoice. Why? Because they're with you as well. They have become a brother, a sister in Christ. If they're not, then the day of his visitation will not be one to rejoice in. When you are accused of being a bad person because you love God, let your behavior and your honoring of that person and your honoring of one another be your testimony. Clear-minded. People will realize the truth because of your honorable actions. Once again, going back to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians 1, verse 27 and verse 28. Let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of what you are that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. Your testimony of a clear-minded, Christ-like, honorable lifestyle and choice is going to influence the world around you. The one suggests that because of your influence, they are going to rejoice at the coming of God. This one suggests that they will not rejoice because they have not believed, but they understand that you were right after all. One spirit, one mind, striving together, unafraid. This doesn't happen by accident. We cannot be a united family of God by chance. It's intentionality. It's preparing for action. You know what's expected. Ready, set, go. Thanks for the help. That was good. So what do we do with this? As we follow God, well, we focus not on ourselves, but on Him. Why are we even here? What is our purpose? What is the value of living in this world today? We are obviously not fitting the mold. I don't think I've ever been more out of place in this world than I am today. And yet, as I shared with you, a person who I met, who I really connected well with, really like a lot, and just want to pour my love and God's love into their life, it's concerning to me, this stand, this view, this agenda of our culture. It's perplexing. I don't fit. I'm so out of place. It's kind of like me trying to figure out the music of this age and this day. I mean, if there's a cool factor music out there somewhere, I'm probably going to end up leaning back to the 80s music. Anybody else there? I mean, I'm not recommending that they're all godly, wonderful people because they need Jesus. But honestly, I get that music. I'm like, oh yeah. It's pretty sad that it's been on the oldies for a long time now. I saw something recently on social media about from 1970 to 1918 is the same as 1970 to 2022. Isn't that disturbing to anybody but me? I mean, come on. I was born in 1970, so it really hit me. It's like, whoa, when I was born, oh my goodness, that's just bad. Closer to that year, my. Well, what's my point? Well, my point is I don't understand this world. I don't fit in well here. But you know what? I know how to love because God is loving me and he's loving through me. And it doesn't matter how weird and strange and wacky this world gets, I still love people. And my heart just goes out to them. I hurt for them when they're confused about what is truth. And they're agonizing and they're miserable in their walk, in their journey, because they're not finding what they're looking for. What do they need? They need the love of Christ. And I am here for a purpose and a reason to not only show the love of God to them, I must first look to him so that I then can share the love of God with them. Focus on his promises. Focus on the blessed hope. Look at John chapter 17. It's so one of my, honestly, it's one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. John chapter 17. If there's a better explanation of who we are in this world, I'm not aware of it. This is outstanding, not only because of the truth that is shared, but it's Jesus praying for you. It's Jesus praying for me. John 17, beginning with verse 14. I have given them your word, and the word has hated them because they are not of the world. Does that sound familiar? Just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world. It's like, wait a minute. Stop. We don't belong here. Come on, come get me. Take me out of this place, right? Jesus says, uh-uh. No, no, no. You're missing the point. He says, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. Do not let the influence of the enemy distort them. Help them to be prepared for action. Help them to be clear-minded, Father. We don't want them to be influenced by the enemy. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world, he says in verse 16. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. Why are we here? Because we have a mission. It's simple. Yeah, we don't belong here. But neither did he, and yet he came. Why? Because he loves you. And now you're going to be sent to the people that he loves so that they know about that love. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world, verse 18 and verse 19. And for their sake I consecrate myself that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, and here's where it gets exciting, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. So the original beginning of this prayer is for the disciples, the followers of Christ, before he even died and rose again. Now he's praying for you and for me, because we heard the word of truth and now we're followers of Christ. That they may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you gave me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one. I and them, you and me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. Powerful, powerful word of truth. We do not belong here. Quit whining about it. Jesus knew that and prayed for you. I mean, you got the greatest prayer warrior that's ever been and always has been praying over you and for you. Come on. Who can stand against that? No one. No one can separate you from his love. Nothing can. No evil, no force, no enemy. We are able to stand in faith and look forward to the day of his coming and know that his promises are true. Yes, this world does not fit well with us because we don't belong. But we do belong for a purpose, and that is to share the love of God with others. Romans chapter 8. I mentioned John 17 as one of my favorites. This one goes right along with it. Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us. Ooh. You mean there's suffering in this world? Absolutely. You mean this world isn't full of wonderful butterflies and a bed of rose petals? Because we all know roses are very thorny and painful, right? You mean there's challenges in life? Absolutely. It can be really, really hard sometimes. Overwhelmingly difficult, but you know what? It doesn't compare to the glory that is going to be revealed in us one day. To be with him face to face. I mean, right now we know him, but someday we'll know him so much more intimately. It doesn't compare. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected in hope, that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. Our struggles on this earth don't compare to the blessed hope. And the final passage of Scripture that I'd like to read is 2 Peter chapter 3. Beginning with verse 10. The day of the Lord will come like a thief, and the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Well, that's pretty exciting, isn't it?
Eesh.
Yowzers. I mean, that's not really fitting well with the message, is it? Well, it is, this next part. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? Waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. Whew. But according to his promises, we are waiting for new heavens, a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. Intentional decisions, prepared actions, sober-minded, clear-minded, focused on him, not us. Focusing on the promise of our blessed hope, not on the misery of what it is to be in this world today. Loving the people as God loves us and through us, so that they too will come to a place of knowledge to understand and know God's love as well. What's just incredible is the verse that we just read actually implies that we can actually, I'm looking for the right word, hasten the coming of the Lord. speed his coming. I mean, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Hurry up. Is that how it works? I don't believe that's what's intended. But here's what I do believe. We have the same Spirit of God within us. Amen? We, as followers of Christ, are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that, something that I've mentioned many times in the last number of months is that that passage of Scripture that tells us that we are the temple of this Holy Spirit, it actually says you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. What I didn't realize is that you is plural in that passage. You, as followers of Christ, together are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Well, if we all have the same Spirit of God who is in us and God is one, wouldn't it make sense that His Spirit will speak to our spirit when His day is approaching? And that we will be ready when this day comes? Not necessarily that we can write a book about 88 reasons why Jesus is coming in 1988. That was a little slam. Goes way back to when I was freshman in college. That was just like, and then, oops, I missed something. I think I'll write another book, 89 reasons. Seriously, poor guy. I don't believe God is going to give us the day and the hour, but our spirit is going to know His time is soon. And I believe that we're starting to sense that in our spirits today. The time is short. We must be about His business. Ready, set, if you're not preparing your mind for what He's expecting, you're going to fumble, juggle, drop, struggle. But when you know what's expected, you have His Spirit within you. You can intentionally make the choices that prepare you for the challenges of this life. How will you respond when you're under attack? How will you respond when the engine blows up? Literally. Wouldn't that be a bad day? Anybody have one of those days? Were you prepared? You should be. I still remember my grandpa was driving our N6 Gleaner. Just side note, don't buy one. They're old now, but they were the new thing. And grandpa had to put a fire out, got the old extinguisher. And I go up to check out the engine that blew. And I'm telling you, it was just like a cartoon. The piston was hanging out the block. I'm like, Grandpa, it literally blew up. And Grandpa's like, rawr, rawr, rawr. He wasn't happy. But I'm like, that's so awesome. And it's a big old piston, like, pfft, it's hanging out like that tongue, you know? Just like a cartoon. I thought, that was awesome. Well, it wasn't awesome for the farm. Let's just say that. But, you know, what are you going to do when that happens? If you're not prepared for that kind of incident, then you are going to be taken by surprise and you are going to be miserable and angry and hurt and all the above. But when your mind is prepared for all that could happen, that all could go sideways in your life, you'd be surprised how you're like, you know what? God is good. Even when this happens, God is good. Because your spirit is ready. As you walk forward with intentionality, clear-minded, not clouded, sober-minded, self-controlled, focusing what? On Him, not yourself. Would you stand with me as we close? I don't know what these days are going to bring. I mean, honestly, with all the things that are going on in our country, I couldn't even guess what tomorrow's going to hold. I mean, this is a crazy world. Apparently, Nancy Pelosi went to visit someone and then everybody got all upset about it and all kinds of stuff is going on. Who knows? Is this going to start a war? I don't know. But my spirit's prepared for anything. I don't have an idea of what the future is, but I know the one who has the future in His hands. And that's better. I can trust Him. No matter how high the gas prices go, which going all the way across the state, pulling a camper and averaging 9.4 miles per gallon, you know, that's not so bad. But when you have to pay $5 a gallon, that's a lot, right? You know what? God is good. And now it's down something, like it's under $4. Praise God. Why are we excited at $4 gas? That's a problem, right? You know, let's get excited when it's under two. That'd be really cool. But you know what? God is good. No matter what we face, why can we do this? Because we're prepared for action, to love, focus on Him, and allow for His Holy Spirit to lead us through it all. Lord, thank you for this blessing to be ready, to not be unprepared for the challenges of life, for the challenge of focusing on you, your word, your truth, your desires. But we can face all that is in front of us because we are ready and we are set. We're at the mark, ready for the firing of that gun to run our race for you. May it be so. May we be prepared as we go forward in your love. I pray your blessing on each and every one as we go into our week and we go into our mission field, prepared for all that you have in store. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. Walk with Him faithfully, intentionally.